Hey, we're so good. So good to have you here. If you're new here, if this is your first time here on Memorial Day weekend, I just want to make sure you know my name is Sten. I'm the pastor here, and we are actually in the second to last week of a series called The Hope Quotient. It's a series designed for us not to raise our IQ, which we know of as our intelligence quotient. It's a series designed to help us raise our HQ, which is our hope quotients. We really do believe that there isn't a single person who wouldn't benefit from increasing the level of hope in their life. And so what we've been doing is we've been using God's word, stories, truths, lessons from the Bible to help us identify various principles that would help us to stay encouraged and would help us to raise the level of hope in our lives. So here's a quick review of those five principles that we've covered so far. Number one, recharge your batteries. Nobody does well running on empty. Then week two was this, raise your expectations. We said as we looked through, as we flipped through story after story from the Bible, we see that the greatest outcomes in life, they always begin with the greatest expectations of the greatest of God's. And so we have to raise our expectations and believe again that with God, impossible things really are still possible. Then number three was this, refocus on the future. I've gotten so many emails and comments about how powerful this week was and this principle was and this one question was that we have to learn to ask ourselves. That when we're in the middle of challenging moments, when we're in the middle of challenging circumstances, we have to learn to ask this one hope-generating question, which is this, what can this become? Right? When we're in the middle of those moments, we don't say, oh, this is impossible. We don't say, oh, things will never change. We don't say, oh, this is how it's always been. It's not going to get any better, or this is awful. No, we have to learn to look and say, no, what can this become? It can be a powerful question in our lives. Then the fourth one was this, play to your strengths. We looked at the story of David and Goliath, and we saw that when we pair what we do naturally with what God can do supernaturally, the results are unbelievable. Right? I really do believe that God has gifted us with some natural gifts and abilities, and he's made available to us spiritual gifts that he has designed specifically with us in mind. And when we pair these two things together, incredible things can happen. Then just last week, the fifth principle was this. We have to refuse to go alone. Right, we talked about how quickly you can go from hero to zero, which was the case with David. Right, some of the biggest mistakes, and this was the case with him, some of the biggest mistakes happen in life when we choose to go alone. When we're not with the right people, we're not where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be with who we are supposed to be. We have to have the right kind of people in our life. So there's vision casters and soul sharpeners and mentors and models and heart healers, people who understand us at a heart level. And then we got to have tail kickers, people who know when we need a good kick in the tail. It's got to be these kind of people in our life. If you've missed any of these, they're online. I would be glad to have you check those out and catch up if there's any that you have missed. So now we have just two left to cover. We have two left to cover in these next 2 weeks, and today's is really huge. I really believe that if there was one single message that maybe every person in America needed to hear, I actually think it might be this message right here. I think someone actually might be here today on Memorial Day weekend. They might be here today. You might be here today because you needed to hear this very message and put it into play in your life. It is so crucial for us, and yet so few of us really do get it right. So I'm glad that you are here today. We're going to dive right in. If you've got a program and want to take notes, grab that and grab a pen as we keep moving here. Really glad you'd be here for this. I heard the greatest story this week about a Petco delivery truck. You guys know the pet store Petco, right? Big, giant pet stores that are all around suburban places of life like we live here. Well, there's a guy driving down the road in a Petco delivery truck. And every time he came to a red light, he would jump out of the truck, he'd run around the side, and he'd start bashing on the side of the truck with a baseball bat until the light turned green, and then he'd hop back in the truck and drive down to the next red light. Then he'd jump out again, he'd run around the side of his truck and start bashing on the side with that same baseball bat, and then he'd hop back in the cab again. The next four stoplights, he's doing the same thing over and over again. Hop out of the truck, run around the side, bashing on the side of the baseball bat, hop in, drive down the road. Finally, he reaches his destination, so he pulled off to the side of the road into his parking space. The guy behind him had been following him all the way down the road. The car behind him was wondering, what in the world is happening. And so he pulls up next to this Petco delivery truck and he rolls his window down and he asks the driver, he says, "What in the heck are you doing?" And the truck driver said, he said, "Here's the problem. I've got 2 tons of canaries in a 1-ton truck. And so at all times, I've got to keep half of them in the air." Let me ask you a question. How many of you feel like that Petco truck driver? You've got so many things happening in your life, and you've got to keep them all in the air at the same time, and then you're running around like crazy trying to make it happen. You know the feeling? I know the feeling. If you don't know the feeling and you're interested, just try planting a church, and then you'll get a sense of what that is like really quickly. Okay, here's the thing. With lives like this, I think it's so true for so many of us. With lives like this, I think that Americans are living dangerously on the edge of burnout. I think that you might be dangerously on the edge of burnout, and maybe you don't even know it. But I think so many of us are living our lives dangerously on the edge of burnout, which brings us to the principle that I want to look at today. If we're going to stay encouraged, right, if hope is actually going to rise in us, then I think we have to learn, and maybe even more so than learning, I think we have to choose to replace burnout with balance. This is the next principle we have to put into play. And I think that we need to choose this because I really do believe that it is a choice. Most of the time, I do not believe that we are victims of the pace of life that we live. It's a choice. And so we have to choose to replace burnout with balance. And there's a lot of things that we have to balance in life, so many balls that we're juggling, so many things that we have to keep up in the air, but I really think all of them can be boiled down into just 2 different things. I think we have to find the balance between doing and being, right? We have to find the balance between doing and working and completing and accomplishing and selling and impressing and preparing and practicing and competing and being, slowing down. Being present, stopping, resting, recharging, carving out time for home and for family, and most importantly, for God. The thing is that this is getting this right, I really think, is so rare, especially today, becoming more and more rare. Getting this right is so rare, so difficult, that even USA Today has picked up on this idea, and even USA Today is weighing in on the subject, right? Here's what they said in an article of theirs. This is USA Today. They said, "Today, people are souped up, stressed out, and overscheduled. In this brave new world, boundaries between work and family are disappearing. Everyone is mobile, and every moment of the day is scheduled with daycare, school, after school activities, and 10 to 12 hour workdays." Then listen to what they write next. Again, this is USA Today. They said, "This pressure cooker lifestyle is so rare that anthropologists are now studying it to see how it will affect us." Well, here's the thing. I think the Bible is actually really clear on how it will affect us. And Jesus himself is actually speaking right to it in Luke chapter 10. And I want us to take a look at that this morning. 2 sisters in this story, Luke chapter 10, 2 sisters are about to welcome Jesus into their home. And this tension between work and home, this tension between doing and being, it is on full display. And I think we learn a couple of great lessons as we watch it unfold. So let's take a look here. This is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It says this: "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village." This is Jesus. "He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Martha had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said." So Martha opens up the home to him, and then Mary, her sister, she's just sitting at Jesus' feet listening to what he said. Verse 40, But Martha was so distracted by the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him, she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my lazy, rotten, no good bum of a sister," I just added those in there, right? She says, "Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself?" And this is great. Look what she does next. She's so stressed out that she starts bossing Jesus around. How many people, when you start getting stressed out at home, you start ordering people around, you start giving out orders to people around you? This is what she does. She says to Jesus, "Tell her to help me." Verse 41, Jesus responds to her. He says, "Martha, Martha. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. He's saying some things are more important than others. Indeed, only one. He says to Martha, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Now, let me be clear about what this is not saying. This is not a story that where Jesus is saying that it's okay to do nothing, right? Some of you are thinking, okay, this is great. I just quit my job. I'll give up all my responsibilities. If you're a teenager, you're thinking, this is awesome. I'm just going to have my sister do all the chores around the house. And the best part is that Jesus said that this was okay. Okay, that's not what this is actually all about. In fact, this parable that Jesus is telling, or this story that is happening here, the parable right before this, Jesus often teaches in parables, right? The parable that he's teaching right before this moment here to a crowd full of people, it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the whole point of that story that he's teaching right before this moment, the whole point of that story is to get off your butt and to get out there and to do good and to help and to serve and to love other people around you. And so what this story is not doing, it's not saying to just stop doing the things that you need to be doing. What this story is doing, it's actually shining a big giant spotlight on a condition of Martha's that I think is so similar to so many of us. I think this story has a really powerful way of highlighting something about Martha that is so true of so many people today. That she's productive and miserable. Does that sound like anybody in our country today? Productive but just unhappy, right? Successful, but stressed out, right? So many people today are so successful, so productive, so efficient, so effective, but so miserable, so discontent, so unhappy, and so stressed out. Take a look at these statistics from just a few years ago. These are a few years old, I will admit, but I almost wonder if they would even be getting worse. But take a look at these statistics about the average life in America. It says this, 86% of Americans feel chronically stressed out. 62% of Americans say, I am critically close to burnout. And then 59% of Americans feel a desperate need to slow down. Anyone else feel a desperate need to slow down? The last one reported was this. On average, this study showed, on average, people today, they sleep 2.5 hours less each night than people did 100 years ago. Why? Because I don't think we've learned to replace burnout with balance. I don't know how it happened. I don't know when it happened or why it happened, but it seemed like we just love to talk about how much we have to do in life, like it's some kind of badge of honor, right? Somehow the more busy we are, the more important it makes us feel. The more busy we are, the more cell phones we have to answer, the more amount of work we have to do, it all makes us feel so much more important. So we stay busy and we work more often and we work in more places and on more devices, more days of the week and at more times throughout the day. And we don't stop and we don't ever slow down. Why? Because somehow America has convinced us that it's all about what we can accomplish and how fast we can do it. They have convinced us that the only thing we need to worry about is more speed, right? Get things done and get things done faster. Think about some of the products, some of the businesses that we engage with every day. The message is all about speed, right? We send packages to one another via Federal what? Express. We get cell phone service from a company called Sprint, right? We diet with Slim Fast. We change the oil in our car at Jiffy Lube. We get loans from Quicken Loans. This could go on and on and on. We're just being convinced that the name of the game is get more done and get it done faster. That's what it's all about. And as a result, I think balance goes out the window. We pay the price for that. We're successful, absolutely. We're successful and we're productive and we're effective and we're efficient, but I think we are all those things at the expense of being unhappy. And so this story of these two sisters, if it's teaching us anything, I think it is teaching us about the need for balance. And we can replace burnout with balance when we learn to do two things well. We learn these two lessons from this story, and we can replace burnout with balance in our lives when we learn to do two things well. I want to share them with you today. The first is this. We have to learn to prioritize the important over the urgent. Let me say that again. We have to learn to prioritize the important over the urgent. Here's verse 40. If we look back, it says, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, okay? She's distracted. She invites Jesus into her home, but she's distracted by all the preparations that requires. Don't pretend like you don't know what this is all about. You know that just moments before your guests show up and ring the doorbell at your house, you are cleaning frantically to make your house look like it does at no other point during the year, okay? This is the case for Martha, except she doesn't stop when the doorbell rings. She keeps it going even as her guest arrived. And what was most important in that moment, what was most important is that Jesus was in her home, right? A man who would raise her brother from being dead back to life, a guy that's doing incredible healings and teachings all around the area. This guy is in her home. Jesus is in her home. What was most important was her guest there in the moment. It's kind of a big deal. But what was urgent was the casserole in the oven, right? The buns being baked, the napkins needing to be folded. And because of one, she missed out on the other. Because of what was urgent, she missed out on what was important. Folks, trust me, the urgent things in life, the things that pop up and demand our attention, they don't ever stop. They don't ever go away. Right, that the emails will always be flooding your inbox. They'll always be popping up at every moment of the day. The work will never leave your desk, right? The newest iPhone will always be promising a feature that you can't live without. The to-do list, it will never become the it's all done list, right? The traveling team will always be recruiting your kid. The next committee will always be begging for your time. Someone else will always be inviting you to some kind of great opportunity. That's a lot of fun, that's good for you, that's good for others, sure. The urgent will always, always, always be grabbing for your time and attention. And when we spend our time and attention responding first to what's urgent, we miss out on what's important, right? If we focus only on the urgent right now, we might sacrifice what's important in the long run. We cannot do that. So we have to learn to prioritize the important things over the urgent things. One of the greatest pieces of advice I actually received from a colleague in ministry had to do with this. One of the greatest pieces of advice I received was a colleague of mine telling me this. He told me that the one thing I need to learn to do is to choose to cheat. He wasn't suggesting that I cheat on a test. He wasn't suggesting that I cheat on my taxes. He wasn't suggesting that I cheat on my wife. The point of this line of thinking was him telling me, hey, if you have to cheat someone out of your time, he said, cheat on your work. He said, do not cheat your wife or your kids out of time with you. And behind this line of thinking, too, was the reminder that there is only one job. I still remember to this day. There is only one job where I cannot be replaced. And that's in my home. In all other areas of life, this church included, right? A church that I started, right? In all other areas of life, I am absolutely replaceable. No one wants to think that's true of them, but it is, right? Someone else can play guitar here if I can't, right? Nate's a better guitar player than me anyway, okay? So if someone else can speak here, if I can't, the jokes might not be as funny, but someone else can still get the job done, okay? Right? Someone else can write midweek emails if I can't. Someone else can update the website or connect with other people who are getting involved with this church. Somebody else can do those things if I can't. But I am the only person on the planet who can be my kid's dad. I am the only person that can be the dad that they need me to be. I am the only person in the world that can be my wife's husband and be the husband that she needs me to be, right? These things for me are what are most important, and I cannot and I will not allow the urgent things to pull me away from the important. So I have to learn to prioritize the important things over the urgent things. And you have to do the same. You have to know what's important. You have to know what's urgent and what order to place them in your life. Second thing the story teaches us is this, that we need to know which balls are okay to drop. We need to know which balls are okay to drop. Martha is so distracted, the story says, with all the preparations, right? The urgent things are taking away from the most important thing. And here's how Jesus responds to her. He says, Martha, Martha. You know, it's never a good thing when someone uses your name twice like this, right? He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about what? Many things. He says, you are worried and upset about many things, but only a few things are needed. He's saying some things are more important than others, and maybe indeed only one. Folks, here's the deal. We are juggling a lot of things a lot of the time. There are so many balls that we are working hard to keep in the air. For most of us, there's some pretty major areas, some pretty major balls that we are juggling. There's work, there's family, there's faith, there's friends, and there's our health. Okay, now here's the thing. I'm not suggesting that there are some of these that are not important. That's not what I'm trying to say, that some of these we can just wash our hands with. All of them are important. Absolutely they are. All of them deserve a portion of our time. We just need to know which ones are okay to drop. We need to know which ones are okay to drop because they bounce back. Some of these things in life, they're like a rubber ball. They bounce back. Right? You didn't get to that email that just came into your inbox? That'll bounce back. Right? If you didn't get the oil change in the car in time, that'll bounce back. Right? If you miss a workout one time during the week, chances are you'll bounce back, right? If you have to reschedule with a friend and say, hey, we'll have to do that later, most likely they'll bounce back. Some parts of our lives are like a rubber ball. They bounce back. Other parts of our life are more fragile. They're like a glass ball, right? Our relationship with God, it's a glass ball. Right, our marriage, raising our kids, right, spending time with significant family and friends in our life, those are glass balls. What happens when they fall? What happens when those are dropped? They get scratched. They get dinged up. They crack. Maybe they break. Maybe they shatter. Some things in life don't bounce back. And what Jesus is saying here to Mary is that she has chosen what is better. He's saying some things matter more than others. Some things are far more important than others. Some things are okay if they fall because they'll bounce back. We got to know which balls are okay to drop. This summer, I joined a softball league playing here in Hudson. I was really excited about this. I was really glad for the invite to play from a friend who I was looking forward to getting to know more. I was looking forward to meeting some new guys that are playing on this softball team, and I love sports. I love baseball and softball, so I was really looking forward to spending my summer nights out on the field. We had our first game a few weeks ago, and it was at 8:30 p.m., first game of the season, 8:30 at night. And so I was getting ready to head out for my first game of the season with a bunch of guys that I had never met before. And again, this was the first game of the season. And if I'm honest, this was like the first softball game that I was playing in close to like 10 years. So I figured, okay, it'd probably be a good thing if I make sure I'm there with enough time to get myself ready. So as I'm getting ready for this first softball game of the season and this first softball game in 10 years, I could hear Erica telling the kids who go to bed at about 8 o'clock, I could hear Erica telling the kids that she would be putting them both to bed that night because Dad had a softball game. And I know that getting both kids ready for bed on your own, I know that that can be quite the process. And so just as I had finished getting ready, I decided, you know what? I can help I can help put one of them to bed before I go. And so I turned around and I walked upstairs and I grabbed my daughter, Lucy, and I said, come on, Lucy, Daddy, it is going to put you to bed. Erica gave me the, like, are you sure, look? And I nodded my head, yes. And I said, yeah, I'm sure. Luce, come on, let me put you to bed. And sounding a bit confused, if you've heard my daughter speak, she gets this kind of little high-pitched, curious voice. Sounding a bit confused, Lucy asked, wait, Daddy, you're going to put me to bed? And I said, yeah, Luce, I'm going to put you to bed. And she said, but you have a softball game. And so I told her, yeah, I know, I do have a softball game. But I told her, you are more important to me than that softball game. And then something just kind of came over me, and I crouched down, and I called Lucy into my arms, and I said, Lucy, I want you to know that you're more important to me than anything else in the whole entire world. And then in that same little curious voice, she had to get some further clarification. I said, Luce, you're the most important thing. You're more important to me than anything else in this world. And she asked, even meetings? And I said, yeah, Luce, even meetings. I told her, Lucy, you are the most important thing to me in the world. And I kid you not, she wrapped both of her arms around my neck tighter than she ever had before. And she squeezed hard and she said, I love you, Daddy. Here's a little update on both those things. I showed up not quite as early to that softball game as I would have hoped. And I kid you not, my very first swing of the bat in almost 10 years, swing and miss. In front of all these new guys that I'm looking forward to getting to know, and it was the best swing and miss of my entire life. And in preparation of telling this story, I was just chatting with Erica and Lucy last night, and I said, hey, Lucy, do you remember a couple weeks ago when I was telling you about going to my softball game? And she remembered this thing moment by moment. Yeah, you said that I'm more important than your softball game, and that I'm more important to you than anything else in the world. And I said, that's exactly right, Luce. You are. Folks, getting time with your kids, it matters. Don't drop that ball. Those years don't necessarily bounce back. Right? Time with your family and when you're with your loved ones, right? Those years and those moments, they don't always bounce back. Right, your marriage matters so much more than your work or than your hobbies or than being right or whatever else. Right, don't drop that ball. And most of all, your relationship with God. Right, a God who gave up his own son so that we would get something that we flat out did not deserve. Your relationship with this God, it matters more than anything. So do not drop that ball. If we are going to start to, little by little, if we're going to start to replace a burnout with balance in our lives, we have to know which balls are okay to drop, which ones will bounce back, and which ones won't. And we have to begin to prioritize the important over the urgent. Let me pray for us. God, we give you thanks for the way that your word speaks to us, God. Some of these stories that we look at, man, they're stories that we've heard time and time and time and time again. All right, some of us, that's just the truth. God, we've heard these stories before, God, but we thank you for the way that looking at them a different angle can bring a new light to what's being said, God, to what it is that you want from us. So God, I just pray that you would help us to be mindful of who we are, God, the pace of life that we're living. I pray that you would help us to be honest as we assess our lives and as we really kind of ask ourselves about the pace of life that we're keeping, God. Would you help us to be honest and would you help us too to be reminded of your grace for us, even if we discover that, man, maybe we're going too fast, too quick, and in too many different directions, God. Would you help us to learn to prioritize the important things over the urgent things? Would you help us to identify, God, which balls are okay to drop? God, I hope that we would learn that some things really are more important than others. I hope you would I hope you would help us, God, to identify which things are most important, which balls are okay to drop because they will bounce back. God, would you help us to do these things in our life, and would you help rest and balance to come into play? God, would you help hope to be on the rise in us because of it too? We want to be an example to the world around us, God. We want to walk with our heads held high, God. We want to walk with confidence and with trust in you, God. We want to walk forward confidently with a hope in you. A hope for the things that are to come, for the days that are still ahead, God. And I pray that we would put these principles, and this one in particular, into play in our life so that more hope would exist inside of us. God, we pray that we would enjoy the rest of this weekend in the beauty that you have surrounded us with. And we are grateful, God, for it all. And we are grateful for who you are and for your son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.